I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, the anchor? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up, five-time Olympic gold medalist swimming for the U.S., Missy Franklin will be in studio with us. Coming up, she retired at the ripe old age of 24 years old in December. As she embarks upon her post-swimming career, she will join us in studio coming up in about 17 minutes from now. I'm sure she has some good stories about her experiences in the Olympics, as she was a phenomenon, a teen sensation, winning five golds as either a teenager or in her early 20s. So she'll join us coming up in about 20 minutes past the hour in studio. Last night, the Milwaukee Bucks had a chance, but a stranglehold on this series, up 2-1. Could have been 3-1 and going back home for game number 5, and did not. And instead, the Toronto Raptors were the aggressors last night. And it was the Raptors bench, not the Bucks bench, which came to play, which was so unlike most of the other series, most of the other postseason games that these two franchises had played. And I think for the Bucks, last night, they were shell-shocked. I think they thought, and they still believe, they're a better team than Toronto. And perhaps this is misplaced arrogance or misplaced confidence by the Bucks, but I think that Milwaukee, by virtue of that best record in the NBA, they got the best record overall in the NBA, home court advantage for as long as they are in the postseason, and those first two games at home against Toronto, combined with how they easily dispatched their two opponents of the first two rounds, I think the Bucks felt like they were far superior to Toronto. I think to a man with how they whipped up on Detroit, barely broke a sweat, and then dismantled the Celtics in five, and then won game number one over Toronto when they didn't really play well, and then handed it to Toronto in game number two. I believe the Milwaukee Bucks went to Toronto for game three and games four saying, we got this, bring on the Warriors. It's a conclusion, it's a foregone conclusion. We will be in the NBA Finals, and we're shooting for the Warriors. And a funny thing happened. The Raptors found a way with enough buckets in crucial situations in game three to win and then dominated game four. And I think that arrogance or confidence, however you want to define it, for the Milwaukee Bucks had a hole punched in it last night. You know, losing in a game in double overtime on the road, okay, you can get over that. A bucket here, a bucket there. We could have stolen that game. We could have had that game. We would have been up 3-0. You really can't explain away or excuse away what happened last night. From the jump, Toronto was a better team, player for player. And last night, I believe, with the reports that it was a very dark, very quiet, very sullen locker room, which is, of course, going to be the case. It's going to be quiet relatively after every loss in the NBA playoffs, but I think there was a recalibration or a questioning of, are we that much better than the Raptors? It comes down to this. If the Bucks win their home games, they're going to the NBA Finals. But I think with the way that the Bucks regular season and postseason had gone, this was the first time last night that they really had to question themselves against their opponent. And I think this is a real interesting pivot point in this series. Obviously, from a game standpoint, from a record standpoint, from a series standpoint, if Toronto goes there and gets a win, they have a chance to wrap up on their home floor in Game 6. But I'm talking about an emotional standpoint. Do the Bucks play as paper tigers, paper champions, where when they're finally punched in the mouth and faced with their own mortality, are we better than the team we're playing? And they finally have it shoved back in their faces. Are they good enough? Are they sturdy enough emotionally to come back and put forth their best effort? Because last night wasn't. Or do they start sinking and playing without the confidence? This is really important, actually. Because the Bucks have to be able to withstand body blows and look in the mirror and face down the opponent that might be better than them or at least as good once they face the Warriors. I ultimately think Milwaukee will come out of this series. I think the Bucks will still win. But had they done it easily against Toronto, had they won in 4 or 5, maybe they would have gone into the NBA Finals with an outside sense of arrogance or confidence. Maybe they would not have expected the fight to be that big, to be that intense, to be questioning themselves because of what their opponent does, which would seem crazy going up against a team that had won 3 championships in 4 years and in their 5th straight NBA Finals, but you never know. I think this could actually be a really good thing for the Bucks if they come out and play their best basketball in game number 5. Here's where it's bad for the Bucks. The Warriors are going to be on so much more rest no matter who they play. The Warriors are going to have 9 days off. 9 days off. And this series is now going to go minimum 6, maybe 7. That's not going to help the Eastern Conference champion take on Golden State. Although, do remember this. The Eastern Conference champ has home court advantage of the NBA Finals. Both Toronto and Milwaukee had better records in the regular season than did the Warriors. So either one of those teams will start at home in the NBA Finals. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. The Silver Fox tweets, Jacob Wilkins so desperately wants to be taken seriously as a media mogul and have your respect. It must devastate him that you guys trash him incessantly. Yet he continues to do spots on the DA show for exposure. LOL. Hashtag, wait a minute.
Now, wait a minute.
I want this clear. We don't trash him incessantly.
Wiener.
We poke fun at him. He has authored the worst segment in DA show history. From the winter meetings in Vegas.
Cha-ching!
But we don't trash him incessantly.
Here in the top bottom of the 5th.
And I'm happy that he has this gig. I think he's going to be a very good baseball play-by-play guy. I think it's perfectly suited for him. He's basically Brockmeyer minus 50 years. So this is perfect.
It's an absolute stunner.
Stunner! Rob tweets, if KD chooses the Clippers over the Knicks and Kawhi goes west in the offseason, should the NBA focus on getting rid of the East and West Conference? The West would have top superstars minus, would have the top superstars minus Giannis. I actually have always thought that the East versus the West thing could go away and it wouldn't make much of a difference in the NBA. In fact, I think it could be better. To me, it doesn't ever make any sense to have really bad teams make the playoffs just because of the division or the conference that they play in. I absolutely hate it when 7-8-1 teams or 7-9 teams make the playoffs in the NFL because their division stinks. I hate that. And I hate it even more because when that happens, those teams host playoff games because they're the division winner. In the NBA, to me, it makes no sense to include an Eastern Conference team that's five games under 500 as the eight seed in the playoffs when a team that's five games over 500 misses it in the West. I think it makes no sense. I think the way that the NBA should do it is 1 through 16. Why bother having crummy teams in the playoffs? It's the playoffs. Why not have the 16 best teams of the playoffs? And for the NFL, shame on you people. When 7-9 can host a playoff game, your structure is stupid. This is stupid. For too long, we have allowed mediocrity in the NFL to be rewarded. 7-9, you host a playoff game? Host? Well, they won the division. It's not their fault. Be over 500. 7-9, 7-8-1, or 8-8 shouldn't be allowed to host a playoff game. You should have to go on the road. You can win the division and have an automatic qualifier. You should not be rewarded with a home game.
This is stupid!
To me, a Chargers team that is 13-3, that's a wild card, that doesn't win the division because the Chiefs are 14-2, doesn't deserve to go on the road in the first round if they've got a better record than the divisional winner. I think that's ridiculous. Hosanna and Gloria.
All the cows now, Gloria.
All the cows now?
Call the cows now, Gloria.
I really like Mraz's voice, basically. Just dissolving into dust and being blown away by the time he gets to Gloria.
Gloria, you know you want a Gloria. Thunder, Gloria. Call the cows now, Gloria.
Gloria. By that
Gloria.
By that last Gloria, his voice has imploded, turned to dust, and been blown away in the wind.
Gloria!
Gloria!
Gotta go see my voice coach again.
Gloria!
Which is great, because that's you hitting your highest note.
Yeah, I've always been a baritone. Sure. Not a tenor.
Mm-hmm. Gloria! 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 You know you want a Gloria!
You know you want a Gloria.
What are the lyrics
you
there?
You know you want a Gloria.
You know you want a Gloria.
Does that mean you want to go to the grocery store and pick up a Gloria? Or does that mean you want
an item?
You want a girl like Gloria? You want a Gloria? Or is that an adjective or a verb, rather? Is that something that you do? You want a Gloria?
I think I want a Gloria.
You know you want a Gloria.
Until the cows come home, Gloria.
Call the cows now, Gloria.
Call the cows now. Yeah, they have T-Mobile.
Thunder, Gloria.
I'm just imagining going to the grocery store and picking up a loaf of Gloria and then calling the cows from the Chick-fil-A commercials.
You know you want a Gloria. Call the cows now, Gloria.
Call the cows now, Gloria!
Thunder, Gloria!
I guess I'm doing Thunderstruck in the middle there.
Thunder!
Random words.
You know you want a Gloria!
You know you want a Gloria! Thunder, Gloria!
Just by saying Gloria is not the song, okay? That's not singing the song. Just repeating Gloria is not the actual song.
Gloria!
Oh my God. When we come back, let's add some professionalism to the show, some decorated athleticism. Five-time Olympic gold medalist Missy Franklin in studio, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call the cows now, Gloria.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Aw, the Da. I love the Da.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're with us at a fine Wednesday morning, everybody. Thanks so much. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always listen to us across all of our wonderful affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Listen to us on your phone as well, radio.com, Apple Music, or on the CBS Sports app. And you can always check us out by watching us as well at watchda.com or the simulcast anywhere on any device. Joining us here on the show is five-time Olympic gold medalist Missy Franklin in studio. Missy, good morning. How you doing?
I'm so wonderful. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You got it. It's amazing because you retired at the ripe old age of 24 when most of us think about retiring.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally normal, right?
It's that time in your life when you hit your mid-20s and you reassess what your life
is
all about.
I've done it all. I'm just ready to really settle down and just move to Hawaii. And
it's the twilight of your life at this point, you know?
Exactly.
And so now it's time to just relax for the final 90 years of your life.
I literally retired before my father did.
So this was in December, and you had such an amazing decorated career.
Thank you.
I mean, as a young teen, 13 years old, you're in the 08 Olympic trials. That is really young to be doing what you were doing, and you were winning gold medals, what have you. How difficult is that decision at just 24 to then walk away from the only thing that you've known your entire life?
It's incredibly challenging, and unfortunately, it wasn't totally up to me. It was a lot of my body telling me no. Which I think for any athlete, for any person, it's really hard when that happens, when you feel like there's still so much more you have to give and your body just isn't quite letting you. I went through a series of bilateral shoulder surgeries, came back to training, moved states, moved coaches, really gave it everything I had, found out I was going to need another bilateral shoulder surgery, about 6 months recovery each shoulder. Just left me about a year to prepare for 2020, and I really just didn't see that as a viable option, and the surgery only had about a 50% chance of reducing the pain. So in a lot of hard conversations and self-reflection, I just knew that I couldn't be in pain anymore. So I had to walk away, and it was so hard, but it was the right decision and the best decision for me, and now I'm really getting to enjoy the opportunities that swimming has given me for the first time.
How is retirement? How are you feeling your days?
I thought I would have a lot more free time.
Okay. Then you're doing it all wrong.
Apparently, I'm really bad at being retired. It's been crazy, honestly, but it's so funny. I learned that swimming was, you know, ironically, what gave me so many opportunities, but for so long, also the reason I couldn't necessarily pursue them at the time, because swimming was still my priority. I still had training, I still had competition, and you can't travel every week when swimming is your priority. You have to limit travel as much as possible. So when that's taken out of the equation, now all the work that I'm doing with foundations, with different sponsors, with public speaking, I get to go and do so many of these opportunities, which is amazing, but keeping me very busy.
Yeah. Five-time Olympic gold medal swimmer and Olympian Missy Franklin joining us here in studio. Was it at all, when you do something like this that's that competitive at such a young age, does your childhood suffer at all? Does it stunt those normal young experiences when you're 10, 11, 12, 13, 16, 18?
Yeah. My parents and I made a very intentional effort to make sure that it didn't. So that was so crucial for us, is my parents and I both knew that if I was a happy swimmer, I was going to be a fast swimmer. And for me to be happy, I needed to have balance. I don't think any of us ever wanted me to feel resentment to the sport in any way. So as silly as it seems, we really made that effort to make sure I went to prom. You know, I had to wake up at 4 a.m. the next morning and go to practice, but I went to prom. I made time to spend, you know, quality time with my friends on the weekend and go see movies and, you know, basic teenage stuff that I had a lot of other things going on, but we knew that that balance was going to be crucial if I wanted to maintain that longevity.
So when you penned your retirement letter for ESPNW, ESPN Women,
yes.
You have been open about dealing with personal struggles during rehab and other points in your career with depression, with anxiety, with insomnia.
Yeah.
What were the reasons behind that? It wasn't that you resented at all the life that, you know, perhaps was taken away from you as a quote unquote normal mm-hmm. kid. It was other things like the physicality part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think I always did a really good job of keeping a sense of normalcy, but really where I failed to do that was leading up to 2016. And I don't think I'd ever felt more alone than I did in that year. And for the first time in my life, I really started to let those expectations and that pressure in. And when I was 17, when I was in London in 2012, it was my first time. No one knew who I was. Like, everyone was just so excited for me. But then all of a sudden, when you do it once, people not only expect you to do it again, they expect it to be better. So I'm going into 2016, still at 21 years old, but now instead of going to the Olympics because I love it and because I'm so excited and I am living out my dream, my fear is that I'm going to disappoint people and have a less successful Olympics, which of course I was never even thinking about during my first one. So carrying that weight is what led to so many mental health issues for me. And it was such a growth experience and it was miserable. I mean, I'm not going to paint over it in any way. It was the hardest time of my life and it was such a challenge to get through it. But now being on the other side, I'm able to look back and recognize how much I learned about myself during that process.
Well, the Olympics are a really interesting, totally unique test tube within athletics because you'll have professional athletes like Michael Jordan, let's just say, who's accomplished everything, say that winning a gold medal for the country is totally different. There's yeah. a pressure because you're wearing and representing the country and that you have an entire country's expectations on your shoulders, not just one city, not yeah. just one team. Now, add on to that, that Michael Jordan and the Dream Team or all these other professionals like in hockey or other sports or other Olympians are in their 20s or 30s. But in Olympic sports, you're talking about in your teenage years mm-hmm. and you're just developing a lot of your emotional stability. You're just developing a lot of your personality.
Yeah.
You're at the 08 Olympic trials as a 13-year-old. What do you think about like gymnasts where they have all of that pressure singularly on them
yeah.
and they're like 15 or 16 years old and it's about the country and the Olympics?
It's unbelievable. I mean, especially in the day and age with social media, I think it can be used for so much good. But at the same time, it is also hard because you are opening yourself up to so many more opinions, to so many more comments, you know, expectations, and you're reading things about how people are supporting you, which is wonderful, but also, you know, what they are expecting to see for you and how they can't wait for you to win, you know, 6 more gold medals. And so many times those things are said with the best intentions, but then you take that as, oh my gosh, my fans, the people that have been with me this whole time, they're the people I want to make the most proud of me. What if, you know, these what ifs start happening of what if I let them down? What if I don't get as many gold medals as I did last time? What if I don't make the team? And it's a terrifying thought to have. And I think any athlete can attest to if you go into one of the biggest competitions of your life, one of the biggest games of your life, with any what ifs, you're setting yourself up for failure.
One of the greatest women, or one of the greatest Olympics Olympians for the U.S. swimming-wise, Missy Franklin joins us here in studio. You're also talking about water safety
yes.
and the way that kids and people of all ages really can be safe around the water this summer.
Yep.
So you want to give our listeners perhaps a few tips as they,
yes.
they go into the warm weather?
Absolutely. So like I said, I'm a part of the USA Swimming Foundation, and I have been since 2015. But now that I am retired, I get a lot more time to spend and travel and bring awareness, which is amazing. But drowning is actually the leading cause of unintentional death for children under the age of 4 and the second leading cause of unintentional death for children under the age of 14. There are 10 people that drown in our country every single day. And that statistic just blows my mind.
10 people every day?
Every day that drown.
Wow.
And swim lessons reduce your risk of drowning by 88%. Which is absolutely incredible. So the big thing that we do at the foundation is we want to provide swim lessons to every child, regardless of race, gender, socioeconomic status. So we've raised $6.2 million since 2007 and reached over 7.5 million children, which has been amazing. But my biggest tips are, of course, get your children in swim lessons. It is so important. And then this summer, whenever you're around a pool, this one's especially for parents, never take your eyes off your kids when they are in the pool. Even if they've been swimming their whole lives, even if they're super comfortable, please don't be on your phone. Please don't be looking other places. If your child is in the water, your eyes need to be on them at all times.
I took swim lessons for the first time when I was, I think, 5 or 6, and we started with the empty milk jugs. So plastic milk jugs, okay, empty, and then you just have the cap on them, and they are your floaties on each hand.
I've never heard that.
Okay, so you go into the water, and so we had to bring milk jugs to swim class. But I bring this up because of that, from the age of like 5 or 6, I was never scared of the water. Yeah. I know a lot of adults that didn't grow up swimming will still be scared of the water because they never learned how to swim. Like, my wife's not a good swimmer, and so she's always a little leery around currents.
Absolutely.
Or deep water, what have you. But that's why swim lessons are so important, is because from a really early age, a child can have confidence that they can do what they need to do in the water.
And that's the most crucial aspect. And it's so funny you mentioned that about your wife, because that was my mom. My mom never learned how to swim, and to this day, she is still really uncomfortable around the water. And that's why I got involved in swimming, because my mom didn't want to pass that fear on to me. So we were in a mommy and me class when I was 6 months old at the local YMCA.
So that's how we created one of the great Olympians of all time?
Mommy and me classes.
I just don't want my daughter to be scared of the water. 5 gold medals later.
It turned out okay.
Yeah. Wow.
But that was it. I mean, she didn't want to pass that fear on to me. And of course she didn't. But truly, we think that there's no age that's too young to get in the water with your kids, get them comfortable. Again, building that confidence is so, so important.
And where can our listeners, if they want to bring their kids to swim lessons, where can they find like a database or information?
Absolutely.
So
USASwimmingFoundation.org, they have a list of all of the Learn to Swim programs that are going to be in your area around you. You type in where you are, so many will pop up. There's incredible ones. Safe Splash Learn to Swim Schools and Swimtastic is a group that I'm involved in that are just phenomenal, and they're popping up everywhere. So you can go to the foundation's website and find everything you need to know there.
Are you a water park gal?
I have not. Can I even tell you the last time I was at a water park?
Okay, because I never know. Like, if you're an Olympic swimmer, you've spent your entire life in a pool, maybe you don't go and use the pool as recreation like us normal people.
You know, to be totally honest, the only thing I remember about water parks is the wedgies that the slides give you. And for that reason, I think that's why I haven't been back.
So your mom is a fear of the water, you have a fear of wedgies.
I think that's definitely it.
5-time Olympic gold medal champion Missy Franklin joining us in studio. This is a lot of fun. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Missy Franklin here in studio. When we come back, we've got your cut line. It's towards the did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Get him 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 out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Get him out. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. 855-212-4227. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Brand new PGP is out. As Mraz and I discuss, the best thing he ate and the best thing I ate on our travels, he to Hawaii, me to Texas. Also, we discuss the conspiracy theories surrounding why Jacob Wilkins preempted our radio show at 10 a.m. in the morning last week for Rumble Ponies magazine. And Mraz and Bogish delve deep into the birthday celebration minus Mraz that he is still bent out of shape about. That's the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, available all places podcasts are. Also, you can search it by just using Permission Granted, or it's the normal DA show, iTunes, and podcast feeds as well. It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Eric tweets in, DA, who has the momentum to win Bucks Raptors now that the series is tied? No momentum. There is no momentum either way, because now that it's 2-2 going into Milwaukee, where the Bucks last time out in game number 2 shattered the Raptors, I think Milwaukee has got to feel pretty confident that they can come out with a win there. Meantime, Toronto's got to feel pretty confident that they just put together their best game of the series their last time out. Now, I did say that I think Milwaukee hasn't needed to or been forced to respond to a situation like this, where they have to look themselves in the mirror and question what they're all about and question whether the team across the floor from them is as good or better. They have not had to face this down yet ever in the playoffs because this group hasn't been in the postseason with expectations until this year. So now that you're the one seed, the best record of the NBA, and you ripped through the first two rounds, and you had a 2-0 series lead, now finally you've got to ask yourself how to respond after getting pounded yesterday. And that's a totally different story. But I think Milwaukee responds. I do. I trust the Bucks shooting. I trust Giannis. I trust their coach. I trust their depth. And I also trust their home court advantage. Derek tweets, boy, DA, you really dropped the ball on Mraz's birthday last week. How much better would it have been if you had Carolyn feeding Robbie the cake and asking, yeah, you like that big boy? You're right.
He's totally right.
By the way, Derek is a true hardcore D-alien. His Twitter handle is at Whedon's a bum.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
I mean, that's a man right there.
How would Susan Woman and John Sterling spell his name?
Whedon?
You're good at it.
Yeah.
You're really good.
Derek.
Oh. D-E-R-E-K-W-E-E-D-E-N. Boop, 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 boop. Did you take typing lessons, John?
You know, Susan. You're good at it.
Yeah.
You're really good.
Pitch. I love that now it's got to the point where these two old birds that are just playing a game of canasta with a baseball game in the background, they have like these little things that they do to cut off one another from just yapping for too long. So in the middle of Susan's whatever she's talking about, I mean, who knows? She's talking about, she's describing a computer like it's a typewriter, like we've never seen a computer before. And in the middle of it, John just goes, pitch.
Wow. 1-0.
Pitch. 1-0. He's got to cut her off. Pitch. Because she'll just keep talking over everything.
The computer has a keyboard like in a typewriter.
Wow. 1-0.
Wow. That's so interesting.
1-0.
Lonnie tweets, happy Wednesday to the mothership. Mraz's version of Gloria has got me laughing so hard I can't breathe. Please tell me this is the epic fail of the day. Hashtag, can I get a Bima?
Call the cows now. Gloria.
Gloria.
Gloria. You know you want a Gloria.
You know you want a Gloria.
Thunder. Gloria.
Norman tweets, come on, D.A. Mraz is awful at singing. Hashtag hurt my ears. Hashtag get him out. Hashtag huge freeze would do better.
Da da da. Da 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 da. Feeling close.
Da da da
da. Da da
da da. Da da
da da. Da da
da. Oh, man. We're terrible.
Da 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 da.
That was supposed to be Blurred Lines.
Try to investigate you.
And it turned into some type of honky tonk at the end.
Da da da.
Mariner, Mariner.
Feeling close. You're just slowly trying to keep the beat underneath me.
Alex tweets, Mraz singing Gloria is another epic fail, not of himself, but of his voice. Get singing lessons from Huge Freeze in your pitch when hitting Gloria. That'll be top notch.
Call the cows now, Gloria.
Call the cows now. I'm sure that's the lyrics to Gloria.
Call Gloria. The...
Gloria, call the cows now. It's time. They should
call
know.
Call the cows now,
you should
Gloria.
Tell them. You should really let them know. It's important that you tell them face to face. Call the cows now.
Call the cows now.
You know,
Gloria.
They're invested in this just the same way you are, Gloria.
Gloria.
You should call them.
You know you want a Gloria.
I know you have these decisions to make, but I don't think you should make them outside of the cows. Call the cows now.
Call the cows now. Gloria.
You know you want a Gloria.
You want a Gloria, whether that's purchasing an item at the store, which is a Gloria, whether that is a verb, you want a Gloria, like you want a dance. Maybe a Gloria is a dance. You want a Gloria. It's like the La Bamba.
Gloria. You know you want a Gloria.
You know you want a Gloria, like you want a floss. You know you want a Gloria.
You know you want a Gloria. Thunder, Gloria.
Yeah, okay, you just keep saying Gloria.
Gloria.
It doesn't count as the song if you just keep saying the name of the song. That
Gloria.
That's not actually singing the song.
Gloria. Thunder. Gloria. Thunder.
You know, I've been so irresponsible because normally this segment is supposed to be the cut line where I get to the stories that did not make the cut, and I tease it every single day. And inevitably, I just get to this final segment, and for the final 7 minutes before the epic fail, I read your tweets, and basically Bilotti just peppers you with all types of drops.
Call the cows now, Gloria.
And I never get to the stories that didn't make the cut, and that's just the way that it goes. And it's really bad of me because I think this has happened way more often than it should. I never get to the stories that didn't make the cut because we're always playing inane drops from the show.
You're good at it. Yeah. You're really good.
Gloria.
Really good. Let's get to the epic fail. I assume that it is you singing Gloria, of course.
No, it's not. Because that happened at the top of the hour.
Oh.
After all of that, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's what the heck's going on?
Oh, yeah, 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 of course. Jacob Wilkins somehow preempted us last week for Binghamton Rumble Ponies baseball. We did not know how that could happen considering who plays baseball that early. Why is there a pregame show or baseball game being played in the AM? We had Jacob Wilkins join us from STEM Research Day or school.
The scientist.
The school, I don't. Science Day at the ballpark. Here's the explanation.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Last week, 10:35 scheduled first pitch. I guess we got underway at 10:38 for Kids Day. It was Baseball in Education Day, where we had over nearly 7,000 kids and teachers and educators at NYSEG Stadium in Binghamton, and a similar sort of day here in Bowie, Maryland, with an 11:05 start. Horizon Federal Credit Union pregame show, of course, begins at 10:50.
This distinguished program.
But I love the philosophy of the coup that I would take over the airwaves. I mean, that's not even something Adam Gase could cook up.
Wait a second. Why are kids at the ballpark instead of in school?
Don't worry about what I'm doing on my weekend.
Oh, this is a field trip. these kids are learning, actually. It's STEM Day here in Bowie, so there's high schoolers that are showcasing their science experiments.
The scientists.
And so I guess it's sort of a here's what you might be doing, or here's something you may be interested in later, some real hands-on learning. Mraz really would have benefited from this back in his Long Island days in high school.
Known for his analytical approach.
There's no doubt about that. Now, where are they presenting their science experiments at a baseball game?
Scientists.
Right in the concourse. So Bowie's a big ballpark. There's about 10,000 seats here, but it's one level. So, yeah, right where, you know, across from the concession stand.
The hamburger is good.
And folks are perusing around and, I guess, learning a lot and forming hypotheses and so forth. And should be a great day. And kids in their have different shirts on, whatever. So, yeah, it's exciting. And the Rumble Ponies are playing great. They're going for the sweep, forming hypotheses and so forth. Bowie, Maryland, forming hypotheses and so forth. Bowie, Maryland.
Epic fail, you loser.
Zach. Is why you fail.
Epic fail.
By the way, I'm all about education. I believe in it very, very much, as you know, because I've seen what happens when you're not educated. He's my producer. But with the whole STEM stuff, science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, we're really stressing science and math these days, engineering, technology, which is great. But, like, where's the history and English? Where's the philosophy? Have we just said, you know what? That doesn't help anybody get jobs anymore. I want to see, like, the farming initiative. That's what I want to see. I want to see gas lamp initiative. It's all about science, the scientists,
the scientists,
technology, math. I want the old school stuff here. What about map making? Let's get map making back on.
Textiles.
That's right. Yes. Let's start making textiles again. Let's have that initiative going on for kids.
Home ec.
Yes. All right. Farming. Tilling the soil.
Churning butter?
Knitting. Making your own clothes.
I think those are textiles.
That's what I want to see. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer here on the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com with a simulcast. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, Jermon Bushrod's going to join us here on the show. He was an offensive lineman in the NFL for a number of years, still is. But last year he was on the Saints in the NFC title game. So we'll talk to him about the travesty in the Bayou. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
Gloria, you know you want a Gloria.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.